Today marks a very special biblical holiday known as Pentecost. Yes, and though the name and association, the occasion may be familiar to many here, to others it might be quite unfamiliar. And so I just want to go over Pentecost with us because it's really a very, very exciting event. So now, for those of us who think we're having a fairly good grasp of this holiday, I think the Bible has some big surprises for us this morning. So my goal this morning is twofold. First of all, to gain a fuller understanding of what Pentecost is, and then that we can apply it to our lives. We don't just want head knowledge. We actually want to experience Pentecost. We want to experience God. Now, I see okay, good. Ryan and Ludi are coming. But I'm going to keep on going until they get here. How's that sound? So many Christians only have half of the story of Pentecost. Yes, it's a very important half, and for that half alone, Pentecost is worth celebrating. Yet, there's also an equally important second half. But let's talk about the first half that you all know maybe about first in just a minute. Ryan and Ludi, why don't you come up? Now, as I was mentioning, Ryan got a promotion and he's moving to Alberta. Lethbridge, I think? Is that close? Lethbridge. Come on up. We want to pray for you guys. We're excited for promotions, and that's always exciting. Now, it's always sad to see people that we love go. Other people can go, and we're not quite as sad. But people we like. Come on up. Pastor Hoff, Pastor John, why don't you join me? Ryan, would you just tell me you've been here 15, 16 years? 16 years, and we're familiar with his voice not only in church, but on the radio. Now we're going to miss that friendly voice on the radio, too, unless you're going to do that remotely. No? They can listen online. To what station? What station are you going to be on?
It's in Lethbridge. It's called CJOC.
CJOC.
Yep.
Wow. Well, so you're leaving this Wednesday, leaving Ludi behind to enjoy us longer.
Yep.
And then when the house sells and all that kind of stuff, then you move out there. That's how it goes? Right. Well, we just want to pray and ask God's blessing on you. Lord, I want to thank you for Ryan and Ludi. For your Holy Spirit on their lives, how they've been able to impact Campbell River. Now we ask your presence on them as they go. That first safe journeying, and may the transition to his new job go well. We also pray for Ludi and the kids as they're remaining behind and waiting for the house to sell and all those kind of details. We ask that you'd have the house sell expediently and for a good price, and that you'd find them help to relocate quite easily. There in Lethbridge, and we find a new good Christian home where they can love and fit in with the people there. May your Spirit be upon them. You lead and guide in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Gonna miss you. Lord bless you. Gonna miss you. So, we want to look at God's giving two very important things. We're looking at the first half now, what God gives. Whoops, I pressed my buttons right here. There we go. Okay, so let's start with the half that most of us are a little more familiar with. Pentecost commemorates the giving of the Holy Spirit. Well, of course. In fact, that's what it's all about. We're called the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, because we have this focus on the giving of God's Holy Spirit. So about 33 AD or somewhere in there, on the Feast of Pentecost, about 50 days after Christ's resurrection or or his burial, God poured out his Holy Spirit. Scripture says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Time references in Acts are few and far between. But introducing this event, Dr. Luke is very careful. He says, had fully come. Literally, it means was being fulfilled. In other words, the verb makes the point that this momentous event associates with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurred at the very time when they were celebrating Pentecost, or Pentecost, the feast was in progress. Now, I've explained to you earlier that the events there at the temple in Jerusalem, some of them were not all that exciting. There was the waving of the two loaves. Now, you can just imagine, waving a couple loaves isn't highly exciting. Everyone would go, ooh, ah, you know. And we're going to talk about those two loaves a little later. But right at that very occasion, when things were happening at the temple that foretold the future, but people didn't really know what was happening. I mean, they didn't figure it all out. Right at that very moment, the Holy Spirit was being poured out on the disciples. So let's read it together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and to begin to speak in tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. So, today, many take the Holy Spirit somewhat for granted, you know, especially in charismatic churches. It's always been this way. But no, actually, it hasn't. It's amazing that God's Spirit would actually come and dwell on man. I mean, that's amazing. It's a big deal. So up until that time, there are about 50 days after Christ's death and resurrection, up until that time in human history, it was completely unthinkable for God's Spirit to dwell in man. Or at least it was a distant hope. It was kind of like us, very much like us, looking forward to the return of Christ or Christ's millennial reign. Yes, we know it's going to happen someday. Hopefully it'll be soon. But it's not happening now. And that's the way it was all up in human history up until that day of Pentecost, about 33 AD. So, now the prophets had foretold it. Remember, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he says, he quoted Joel, who said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour my Spirit on who? On all flesh." Now, see, now that's the amazing thing. Yes, there were the ones and twos previously whose God's Spirit dwelt on. But us, just ordinary people, completely unthinkable. So that God would pour out his Spirit on mankind, but it had never happened before. So now Ezekiel also spoke of it. Numerous prophets of old spoke of it. Ezekiel, speaking on behalf of God, said it this way: "I, God," in fact, we looked at this last week, "will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you." Whoa, something brand new. "I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit in you." Amazing. Just Can you just fathom for a moment the Almighty God dwelling, His Spirit, placing His divine Spirit in us? And then He lists why. And move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So as God's Spirit lives in us, all of a sudden we can live the Christian life. All of a sudden it's not so... Can you imagine all the Old Testament saints who lived without the Spirit of God? But now the Holy Spirit has come to live with us and in us and help us. Well, heretofore, only the select few experienced God's Spirit. There was the prophets, some of the priests, some of the kings had God's Spirit placed on them. In fact, David realized how unique this is, and he had watched Saul lose the Spirit of God. And after David had sinned and then was caught by the prophet and repented, desperately he prayed to God, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and don't, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He realized how fragile that was to have, and how precious it was to have the Spirit of God in his life. Now, some of us, even though we attend a Pentecostal church, the Spirit of God, or we don't think that much of how precious it is to have the Spirit of God. In fact, it's kind of a distant thought. But here today, I think we should remind ourselves what a precious privilege it is to have the Spirit of God living in us. Well, Jesus commanded his disciples before the day of Pentecost came not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Now, you see, God had promises through the prophets that he was going to give them a very special gift, the Holy Spirit. And even though they had spent time with Jesus, they needed to wait. See, Jesus went on to say, John baptized you with water, but before many days, in fact, in other words, very shortly, you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So now Jesus' disciples had trained hard for 3 long years. Why would Jesus command them to wait? I mean, could one get better trained than through the Son of God himself? I mean, they'd been with Jesus. He had helped them, and they lived together, ate together, slept in close proximities. And yet Jesus said, you haven't seen nothing yet. So let me give you 4, and there's a whole bunch of other reasons how the Holy Spirit empowers us. The first reason is he helps us to pray. Now, of ourselves, we're a lot more spiritually inept than we sometimes credit ourselves. In fact, we need some divine help. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Now, if we'd be honest with ourselves, we have a lot of those weaknesses, and we need the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the ways is through prayer. Romans tells us we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. Wow. One of the basic ingredients of living a Christian life is communicating with God, prayer. And yet the Bible tells us we don't even know how to do it, but the Holy Spirit helps us with that. Well, what's another thing? Well, a transformed character. We read it in Ezekiel, where God changes our old crusty heart. Now, most of us like to think that we got pretty nice hearts, shiny gold hearts. But God actually doesn't see our hearts normally in that condition. He says, in the natural state, our hearts are kind of callous and crusty and stony. But he says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, and I'm going to put my Spirit in you, and he will enable you to do what you couldn't do before, to follow God's word. I mean, we might have had good intentions in the past, but now the Holy Spirit enables us to do what we couldn't have done. Another thing is for Christian service. When He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself or on His own authority, but whatsoever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, Christ, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit helps us in Christian service. And He gives us the power to witness. Now, it's great to get filled up with the Holy Spirit, but there's a purpose for it, to witness. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, He was kind of drawing circles. Jerusalem was kind of the hub. The next one out is Jerusalem is a city. Judea is a province. And Samaria is outside of the province. It's another area altogether. And so He's saying, at home, and you're gonna influence not just your home area, but your whole province, and even outside of the province, you begin to influence people for Christ. Well, and then, now there's other ways we influence people, even in worship. Remember, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and He says, there's a time coming, and now is, when people will worship the Father. How? In spirit and in truth. So before, they were going through ritual and form, but there's coming a time when God's Holy Spirit will be in people, and they'll worship in spirit and in truth. Well, Acts chapter 2, verse 4 tells us, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then something happened. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Well, many people say, you know, sure, I want the Holy Spirit. I just don't want all that other shenanigans. All that tomfoolery, all that funky stuff. I don't want any of that. But I want the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Yeah. Well, it would seem reasonable to assume that everyone should be able to discern a real move of God, the presence of the Lord. I mean, we should know God when we see Him, right? Well, unfortunately, that's not always the case. You see, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he had to explain what was going on. He says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. So they were observing a genuine move of God, an infilling of the Spirit, and they didn't realize what it is. In fact, they credited it to tomfoolery. These guys are just behaving inappropriately. They're drunk on a spiritual holiday. I mean, that's terrible bad. But he says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out My Spirit on all people. This is good news for you and me. It's not just for the televangelist or the radio preacher or somebody we see on the internet. This is for all people. This is for you and me, for your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on My servants, both men and women, I will pour out My Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You see, it crosses age barriers, and it crosses where you're at in life. It includes us all. God says, "You may have My Holy Spirit. I want to live and be in you." What an amazing event! Well, now, that's just one half of the picture of Pentecost. We could spend a lot more time just talking about that half, but let's look at the other half of the story of Pentecost. Now, this half is just as exciting as the other, but starts centuries earlier. Long before the Holy Spirit was given, Pentecost was being celebrated. But why? What are the roots of Pentecost, and why were they celebrating it? And what's it all about? Why is it so important for us today? Well, Pentecost was one of the appointed feasts of the Lord, given by God to Israel to celebrate each year. But it wasn't just any old ordinary event. Now, you may say, well, I don't remember the name Pentecost as I read through the Old Testament. And you're right. This feast actually goes by various names, none of which in the Old Testament being Pentecost. So let's look at some of its names in case you ever run across it as you're reading the Old Testament. The first name would be the Feast of Harvest. Celebrate the Feast of Harvest with the first fruits of your crops. Which crops were they talking about? They were talking about the wheat harvest. Now, we talked about first fruits when Jesus, remember, he died on Passover, and he was in the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he rose on first fruit. That was the barley harvest. Now, this is also called the day, instead of the feast of, the day of first fruits, to be distinguished from the feast of first fruits. So on the day of first fruits, hold a sacred assembly. That's what we're doing. We're having a sacred assembly. And it's also called the Feast of Weeks. Well, why was it called the Feast of Weeks? Well, because they counted 7 weeks after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, plus one day, which placed it not on the Sabbath, but on the Sunday. So 7 weeks plus one day is 49, plus one is 50. So celebrate the Feast of Weeks with the first fruits of your wheat harvest. It was called Shavuot in Hebrew because Shavuot means simply weeks. So that was the primary name that the Jews spoke of when they spoke of the Feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament. They used the word Shavuot or weeks. Now, when we come to the New Testament, then we see the name Pentecost because they wrote the New Testament primarily in Greek, and the Greek word for 50 is Pentecost. So we have, we use today the word Pentium, Pentagon, Pentacle, Pentagram, all speaking of 5. That's where we get the word Pentecost. So Pentecost was a major holiday. In BC, we have 10 or 11 statutory holidays, and some of them are celebrated more than others. I mean, we all appreciate and are grateful for days off on Family Day in February and Victoria Day in May and BC Day in August. But these holidays kind of pale in comparison to Thanksgiving or Christmas, when the whole family comes home and is highly celebrated. We got choirs doing this and the skits for that. They're big days. Well, in the same way, some of the appointed days of the Lord cause more flair than others. Pentecost was one of the 3 pilgrim feasts. In other words, it was one of the Christmases, one of the Thanksgivings. It was a big day because Scripture tells them 3 times a year shall all the males, Jewish males, appear before the Lord thy God in the place which I shall choose, which would become Jerusalem. So 3 times a year they would be pilgrims to Jerusalem and celebrate this feast. First, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's when Jesus was buried. The Feast of Weeks, that's when the Holy Spirit was given. And the Feast of Tabernacles, that's when Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom. So, why? What was the big deal about Pentecost? Why did God want everyone in Jerusalem on Pentecost? Why did they celebrate it? Why was it one of the 3 key feasts? Well, the answer is found in its origins. Something enormously important happened 50 days after Israel left Egypt. You know what it is. They met with God, and God gave them his word. it's actually amazing. Pentecost doesn't just picture the giving of the Spirit. It actually pictures and commemorates the giving of God's Word. Can you imagine not having a Bible? Not having the revealed Word of God? I mean, let's say you're trying your hardest to serve God, to love Him, to do what He pleases, but you don't have a Bible. Now, your great-great-great-great-grandparents passed down a few thoughts, and a few relatives said a few things that they thought they could remember, but it was all fairly hearsay. And then one day, you got a Bible and was able to hear God's Word. Well, that's what happened 50 days after Israel left Egypt. God gave them His Word. Now, okay, He didn't just pass out Bibles that day. It wasn't the Gideon's Bibles. They all received at the foot of the mountain. But it was there when God began, and they celebrated the giving of God's Word to His people. Now, that was a joyous occasion. The receiving. Can you? I'm not sure if you can remember your first Bible, but most of us have stacks of Bibles. I mean, I have a whole shelf full of Bibles, different versions. Some of them are study Bibles, and some of them are big print. Some are real small print. So we have all these different kinds because God's Word is so precious to us. Can you imagine getting your first Bible, hearing God's Word? King David says, "I have treasured your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Then there's moments of trouble, and we go to God's Word and look for God's guidance in His Word. Well, God introduced His Word with quite a shock and awe event. I mean, there was the lightning and thunder and a thick cloud and fire and smoke like a furnace, a violent earthquake accompanied by the sound of a ram's horn that got increasingly louder and louder until it was deafening. Whew, that's quite an event, passing out the Gideon's Bible. I mean, you would remember this for a long time. In Exodus chapter, it's reported in Exodus chapter 19, verse 18 and 19, and we read it last week. The smoke billowed from Mount Sinai like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God, in one verse I heard, it says, thundered back. What a camp meeting! God giving out His Word. And from then on, Moses started writing it down. And that's the origin of our Bible. I mean, what an amazing occasion. So why did they, up until Acts, why did they celebrate Pentecost? They celebrated the giving of God's Word. It was amazing. I mean, to love God's Word. I mean, it was that passion for God's Word. Well, there's other notes about Pentecost that kind of pale in comparison, but they're there. It was a joyous time of harvesting for the first fruits of wheat. And so it was, in that regard, like a Thanksgiving time. First of all, they're excited about God's Word, which was also His covenant with them. But it was also a joyous time because the harvest was coming in. I mean, that's all. It's kind of like payday. I mean, who's not happy about payday? So all of a sudden, God blesses us, and payday's here, and our family's home, and we're all meeting in Jerusalem together. That was an exciting time. Now, tradition says it was also King David's birthday and the day in which he died on. Or at least those are the days they commemorate King David's birth and death. And remember, King David was also highly important because there was the Davidic covenant, speaking about the Messiah who was going to come and sit on the throne of David and have an everlasting throne. And so that was highly important to the Jews. Then, in Jewish tradition, it's also the day that Ruth came into the covenant with God. Remember, she was outside of the covenant and as a Moabite. Now, Moabites were cursed people, but she took on the covenant. She came into the covenant and became a proselyte Jew. Actually, the book of Ruth is read during the event of Pentecost in Israel every year. But this also speaks to us. Us who are outsiders as Gentiles, cursed of God, can step in and accept the covenant of God. So we have God's word, we're part of his covenant, and he gives us his spirit. I mean, it's an incredible day. Now, remember the two loaves that didn't seem like very important? Well, these two loaves were leavened loaves. Remember, at Christ's death, his burial, that was the feast of unleavened bread. But this specifically was the feast of leavened bread. It symbolizes both Jews and Gentiles, normal human beings with troubles, with problems. Sin speaks of, leaven speaks of sin. And here we are, just normal, everyday sinners. And God says, I'm going to put you together as one. I'm going to give you my word, bring you into my covenant, and fill you with my Holy Spirit. Hot dog. It's a hot day, I tell you. And so the day on which God's word was given, 50 days after Passover, is the same day on which the Spirit was outpoured, Shavuot, Pentecost. Here we are today. What an exciting event. Well, we're going to invite Pastor Hop up and Ernie up at the same time, and we're going to have communion together and prayer together and finish off this morning with a grand time with the Lord. We're going to invite the music team back again.